But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory. Hello and welcome back. Okay, so today I honestly don't even know what I'm gonna call this video. I can tell you what it's about. It's about basically how to process the prophetic words that you receive. I'm going to give you 7 points to use when you receive a prophetic word, how to process it so that you can see it come to pass, right? I'm sure by the time I'm finished with this that I'll figure out what the title is, but that's the essence of what I will be talking about today. And with this one, there is not going to be a study guide because I just want to go through the points very quickly and share with you. And I think this is something all of us need. I need it. I need to be reminded of this every now and then until it becomes habit for us to just use these tips when we're processing messages. It's very important. Okay, let me pray to get us going. Lord, first of all, we just invite your Holy Spirit, your presence. To rest upon us, to flow through us, to unstop our ears, to give us a spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the gift of discerning spirit so that we can understand prophecy, prophetic words, your intent for them, and how they should go forth, Lord. And I just pray that you would just remove the scales from our eyes so that we can clearly see the messengers that are coming with the messages, so that we see you and we know you through it, Lord, even more. I thank you for blessing this time with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's go. One thing I would say before we start here is that before you read any prophetic word or listen to any prophetic word, you should try to begin with prayer, okay? So if you're going to watch something or listen to something or read something, just say, Lord, I pray you give me discerning of spirits, which is a spiritual gift to discern the spirit behind the message. And I ask that you put a filter over my eyes and my ears with the Holy Ghost so that I'm only receiving what you have for me. If you could just make it a habit to do that each and every time before you watch or listen to something, that will really help to weed out a lot of the stuff that's not from the Lord, because as the message is going along, you're going to be processing it. And then this will help you to just push aside the things that are not from God. Okay, it's a short, easy, simple prayer like this. Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Put the Holy Spirit filter over my eyes and ears and let me discern the spirit behind this message. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. If you could just say something like that, pray something like that, that will really help you. Okay, now I have a block of scripture here. It's going to be 1 John 4, verse 1 through 6, that I'm going to use as our foundation. You've heard it before, but this time I'm going to give you a larger piece of that block in context, the whole thing, read it through, and then I'm going to break it down into pieces before we get into the 7 points, because this is really the foundational scripture of how to test the spirits. Okay, all right, so it says 1 John 4 verse 1 through 6, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. We're going to stop right there. The word test, what does this mean? It means to examine, to scrutinize, to discern. So it's saying, before you even receive it, you need to test the spirit behind the message. All right? And I said to you last week that you could have three different people with the same message. Okay? One of them is coming with a word from the Lord. The other one is coming with a spirit of fear because they watched it on television and it's just their feeling that's stirring up the fear. And then another one could be coming with a word from the devil. That sounds the same. The point is, you're receiving that message is you're receiving the spirit behind the message. So it is very important for you to discern what is the spirit behind this message that's coming forward, even if it sounds true. Because you learned from last week that with divination, a lot of times it can be truth, but you have to discern what's the spirit behind the message. Okay, then it says, why do you need to do this? Because many false prophets have gone into the world. You already learned that a false prophet is someone that comes and says they have a word from the Lord and it's not from the Lord. It is false. Okay, that's why you need to test the spirits, because there are many false prophets that have gone into the world. Verse 2. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God. This point is completely in alignment with Revelation 19:10, which says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ, so that the message of prophecy needs to point to Jesus Christ. He came in the flesh and he is from God. If you're saying you have a word from God, that word from God has to have scripture to back it up, because that's like God's signature on the message to say, hey, look, this is pointing to Jesus Christ. Okay? So you're not going to give a message and it doesn't have a scripture to point to Christ, right? No, it has to be pointing to Christ, because then it says it comes from him and it's acknowledging him in that message. All right, now verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Notice what it says and what it doesn't say. It doesn't say this is the Antichrist. No, it says this is the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist. Now, what is that? Well, the word says it, Antichrist. Against Christ, not of Christ. Okay? Your flesh is not Christ. The enemy is not Christ. It's not that the person is the Antichrist, is that the message is not of Christ. It is against Christ. It is not cohesive with who God is. That is why it has the spirit of the Antichrist on it. It is against what the Lord is doing. If you're going to say God gave you a word to come and tell someone, he better gave you a word to go and tell someone, because then if you're coming and it's a lie, that is Antichrist. You understand? The spirit can be an Antichrist spirit because it's not in alignment with God, not because the person is the Antichrist. I hope that is making sense to you, okay? It says you have to test it so that you know if this spirit is the spirit of Antichrist. It's against Christ. Okay, Now, it says, and it says it's coming and it's already in the world. What does that mean? It's not just one, it's several. He says it's coming and it's already in the world. It's several, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. There are many that are speaking and saying it's God and it's not. Okay? Number four, this is verse four. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world and the world listens to them. Okay, so verse 5 is saying that the message is worldly, fleshly, not pointing to Christ. Why this is so important for you to hear this whole section of scripture is that you realize that this is how the idolatry of your heart, when your heart's desire takes precedence over God and who He is, that can lead you into the world. You're chasing after riches, you're chasing after stuff, not Christ. All of your messages are chasing after stuff. It never points people to Christ. That means that message is of the world. It is not pointing to Christ. It is not testifying of Jesus Christ. It testifies to the world, okay? And this does not mean that God doesn't want to bless you. He does. However, if every message you listen to is just one that feeds your flesh and it never talks about you going from glory to glory and being more like Christ and in His image, you're in the world. You see, that is it. Now, verse 6, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. And whoever is not from God does not listen to us. But by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are from God. And because we're from God, when we hear a message that points to the Lord, we listen to such messages because we know the truth, because we're reading our Bibles. And we understand what God's word says. And we understand that scripture that was shared in that message points to Jesus Christ and it is truth, okay? We're not gonna get mad because people are not telling us what we wanna hear. We don't have itching ear to just listen to a messenger because they constantly tell us what we wanna hear. We have to be able to understand that. Sometimes the message, okay, prophecy, edification and correction and building up. It's a pruning word. It's a warning word. It's many different things, okay? It's just not always about blessing. Okay, so you can't get mad. You can't get mad when you're being corrected as to what to look for, to discern, to then know this is not from God. Especially if you now discover after listening to this whole series that some of the people you've been listening to are not from God. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. Just go, oh my goodness, now I finally heard truth. That's why I give you the whole section. I don't just tell you, test the spirit and leave it at that. This whole thing tells you exactly why you need to test the spirit, and that what is really behind it is a spirit of the Antichrist, which is against Christ, which is to lead you into the world and your fleshly desires and away from God. That's the whole thing with the false prophet, which I told you before. They focus on your idol, they prophesy to your idol, and then they send you into the direction of your idol, and you go running down that street. And you've forgotten Jesus. And you don't realize that nowhere in that message was he ever mentioned. There was no scripture that pointed to him. Okay, instead, the scripture sent you off looking at lyrics for a song, right? Well, let me tell you something. Unless I can pick up my Bible and flip to the back past Revelation and see 1st and 2nd Jodeci, I don't want to hear about it. Unless I can go to the New Testament and find the book of Usher, I don't want to hear it. Okay? Seriously, it has to point to scripture. Why? One of the ways in which you battle for your word is with the scripture. So if you don't have a scripture verse to hold on to, no meat, you can't fight for that prophecy. You can't fight for the word because you have no word. Okay, we're going to get into that shortly, all right? But I just wanted to point this out to you so you can see it. Okay, so now that I've shared all that, I'm now going to go into the 7 things that you need to do to ensure that that word is going to come to pass in your life. All right. So the first thing I said, before you listen to the message, pray. Ask for the filter of the Holy Spirit over your ears and over your eyes. Okay? Ask for the gift of discerning of spirits for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So that you're going to be able to, it's like a filter. When it comes in, immediately you're going to go, no. That's the first thing. Second thing is, when you listen to the message, you now need to discern the spirit in the message. So when you hear the message, you're going to know right away, okay, is this from God? Is this person's flesh? Or is this from the enemy? Because if it's not from God, immediately discard it. You have nothing to do with that word. If it's the person's flesh, you have nothing to do with that word. This is about you. A lot of people prophesy what they want. The word is about them. It's not about you or even sharing for you. It's their word that they brought to you, not realizing that that wasn't even for you. It was for them. Okay? So, before you do anything else, you have to discern the spirit. Is this from the Lord? Is this from this person's, or this is from the enemy? Because if it's not from the Lord, wipe it from your mind. God, please wipe that from my mind. Let me never remember this again. Okay? And you move on. Now, if the Lord says, we're on to point number 3, it is from me. Question number 3 you have to ask yourself is, or ask the Lord, is this word for me? Because this is the next problem we have. We all want the good stuff. I don't blame you, I want it too. God is giving you a house, I'll take that. God is giving you a car, I'll take that too. God is giving you a whatever, a large ministry, I'll grab it. God is gonna, I don't know, anything. We want everything that is good. I understand. However, not all of them is for you. No. And so before you get your hopes all built up on this word, once you clear that it's from God, then the second question, is it for me? Is it for me? And the Lord will clearly tell you yes or no. It's not for you, let it go. Well, God bless them. Whoever gets it, good for you. I'm happy for you. If it is your word, great. Now it passed another test. It is your word. And now we go into the next thing. What is the timeline on the word? So important. Because I will tell you, as somebody who has shared similar prophetic messages with people who might be heading in the same exact direction, those people sometimes don't get to that promise at the same time. Someone might get it next week. Someone might get it next month. Someone might get it next year. Someone, it's not going to happen for another 5 years. So sometimes you want to know when. Lord, can you give me a timeline on this word? That would help you to not get all like crazy over something that's not going to happen for years. I know you want it now, but it's not going to happen for years. Okay, so I'm just saying, ask, because don't be surprised if the Lord gives you a timeline. Yes, this is where it is for you, but this is not for now. For now, I have other things for you to work on. Okay, but that's going to come down the line, way down the line. Okay, and you can put it off to the side, but have something to look forward to, but knowing it's not for now. Okay, important. Next one. The scriptures in the message. The message has to line up with the scriptures in the message. It goes together, okay? Because that scripture is the foundation of the message, and then they give their commentary or tell you the message with the scripture. But the scripture is really the most important part of the message. I have to tell you, it is, okay? Because the Bible says, his word shall not return void. So if you have the scripture and it's your word, when you speak the same scripture into the atmosphere, it's almost like you're throwing out a hook for a fish, right? And you're pulling it in. If you didn't know that that's how it works, that's how it works. That's why you have to have a scripture. It's like you throw the hook and you're doing this. Why? Because when the word goes out, it shall not return void, which means something is coming back from that word. It's coming back. And since I already know that that word is mine, then what I am pulling in by speaking the word is what it went out to do. Do you understand? That's why you need a scripture. At least one. If you got more than one, fabulous. You are going to use all of those scriptures. Okay, you need the word in prayer. Because a part of you receiving that prophecy is the your ability to speak the word. Not the word of the prophet, God's word. Okay? What you heard about the sons of Sceva? That says, you know, we come in, the devil beat them and said, who are you? Paul, I know, but who are you? You're nobody. You have to have scripture, God's word in your mouth, all right? The armor of God, the sword of the spirit is the spoken word, and the belt of truth is the word, the written word then, okay, that you have inside of you. So when you are going into prayer, what you're going to use to war with is the scripture, the one related to that prophecy, that God, if he authored that message, gave that scripture to that prophet. Okay, so don't just hear it and let it go. No, if that word was really for you, your job now is to write down that scripture. Open your own Bible and speak it, because that's how you get it to happen, right? Because the word is not going to return void. It's your promise. So when you speak that word, it pulls it in. And the more you're speaking that word is the more you pull it in, because every time you say it is bringing it back to you. It's coming back to you. It's not returning void. It's going to accomplish what it was sent out to do. Okay. All right. Next one. What are the instructions? Here's the thing.
One of the biggest problems I see with people sharing prophetic word is that they don't give any instructions in the word. People just sit there and they're like this, it's just gonna fall in my lap. No, it's not. Sometimes it does, but I promise you, if you read the Bible, you understand this concept. It's called a conditional promise. It has conditions attached to it. And a lot of times the prophetic words that we listen to or we read, there is no instructions. It doesn't tell you, oh, by the way, you need to do this in order for this to happen. And so some of you, the word could be for you, but you're just sitting there like this, like, when is it gonna happen, Lord? When is it gonna happen? And it's not happening because there were instructions, which A, you never got, or B, you never did it. Right? Good. So here's the thing. Let's say that that prophetic voice never gave you instructions. The same time when you're going to sit with the Lord, ask the question, is the word from you? Is the word for me? What's the timeline on this word? Ask the question. As a matter of fact, even if they did give you instructions, you need to ask the Lord yourself. Okay, Lord, do you have any instructions for me on this word? Is there something you require of me in order for this to happen? Ask for the instructions, because in you fulfilling your part of it, God is now obligated to fulfill his part of it, because you did your part. You followed the instructions. You followed through on what he told you to do to get that word to come to pass in your life. And after you do your part, guess what? Now you have a contract with God on that word. You've done your part, and now he's gonna do his. Okay, it's like a contract. You sign your bit, and then he signs on the other bit and brings it. And you never have to sit there and go, oh, I don't know if this is gonna happen. No, because you did your part. According to what the Lord told you, this is what you need to do to get this to happen. Okay, so instructions here. Very important to get the instructions. And you think of the story of Abraham and Isaac, and when he took Isaac up to sacrifice him as God asked him. And people hear that story, and the first thing they say is, oh, the faith of Abraham. Can I tell you something? Do you know why he had faith? He had faith because there was a contract. God said, do this and I'll give you this, and he did it. And therefore, he had all the confidence in the world to go up that mountain with Isaac, because he had already signed his part of the contract. Okay? So if you read Genesis chapter 17, you will see where God says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, to Abraham, right? To Abram. After he does that, he then says to him, here's what you need to do. You need to make sure that you circumcise. Well, first he had to circumcise himself and circumcise Ishmael. But he says, every son that is born after this day needs to be circumcised on the eighth day. As long as you circumcise them on the eighth day, they are now a part of this covenant. And I am going to make the covenant with your son Isaac. It was very specific. Before the child was even born, God gave him a name. Before the child was even born, God said, circumcise him on the eighth day, and I am going to bring many nations through him. So what was this conditional promise for Abram? The part he was responsible for was to circumcise Isaac on the eighth day. That's it. He can't make none of the rest of it happen. Okay? the birth was through God. He already had the name from God. That means the only thing he has to do, his name is Isaac, call him by the name God said to call him, and circumcise him on the eighth day. The minute he did that is like he went there and he signed that contract. And now it's like, God, I did my part. And if you want to know where that is, read Genesis 21, verse 4. And you will see, name him Isaac, circumcise him on the eighth day. The minute he followed that instruction, he signed his name to the contract. And now guess what? Now God has to fulfill it because the promise had already gone forth. So, after he did this, when God said, now take Isaac up to the mountain and sacrifice him, do you understand why he could confidently go up there with him? Because he's like, look, we got a contract already. I've already done my part. So I know what's about to happen up on that mountain, but what I know is this boy named Isaac that's already circumcised on the eighth day is a done deal. We're not gonna sit over here and shake. No, it's done because I did my part. I obeyed the instructions. That's why you need to follow instructions. And that's why you need to ask for them. Let God tell you, no, there's nothing for you to do, my love. Nothing for you to do. Just sit there and I will bring it to you. But you need to ask. Because if there is, once you do your part, it's gonna happen. That's it. Now you're not worried about anything. It's done, right? And then the final thing what you do is, like I said, you stand in faith. Stand in faith. That is when the faith portion comes into play, okay? You've already cleared out all the steps. Now you can stand in faith. Now you can say, this thing is gonna happen. Only a matter of time. Thank you, Lord. Now you can praise him. Now you can receive it by faith. Now you can trust and believe it's gonna happen, right? Now you speak that word. You're pulling in that fish even faster than before, and it happens, all right? That's how you process every prophetic word. And some of them are going to drop off from the first question. God, is this from you? No. Pew, out of here. You know, and the truth is, sometimes people can get it wrong, right? It happens. Even if you look at the story of Peter, one minute he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next day, the devil is within like the same right there, the devil is taking him over and he's telling Christ, no, you're not going to go to the cross. And Jesus is rebuking the devil from the same man, okay? I'm telling you that so that you understand that sometimes people can pick up on the wrong spirit. It happens. But you need to do your work and clean that thing out. And if you have your favorites or your people that you always listen to, and you go one day and you ask the Lord, and the Lord is like, this word is not from me. I'm not going to say immediately discard them, okay? Especially if it's not happened like that often, okay? But now you have to pay attention, because now something came that wasn't from the Spirit of the Lord. Now you go again. They come with another word. You ask the Lord the question. Nope, it's not from me. Now you know that they've tapped into something and you don't know what that is. You need to stay away, because now you know, okay, this is like something is going on with this person. Let me just back up off of them and allow them to go through their process. You pray for them to turn from whatever that spirit is, okay? But you don't need to be sitting there and listening to messages after messages when the Lord has already told you that it wasn't him. No. And even more so if it is someone that you've never listened to them prophetically before, never. And the first time you ask the Lord is like, it's not from me. Oh, honey. Click them three dots. Do not recommend this channel or whatever the term is there. You're out of here. Okay, why you want to listen to that? There's so many other people out there. Go where you know it's the Spirit of God. Right? Okay, that's it. I just wanted to share that with you. And I am praying that from this, you're going to use the tips, because you're going to find out that you're going to see more prophetic words coming to pass in your life. And as you begin to weed out all the garbage and the stuff, you need to be very selective with who you're listening to. Very selective, okay? You are not a trash can. You cannot just have people dump their garbage in on you like that. So the minute you start to identify, get rid of them, move them out of the way, so that you can find the people who are really from the Lord. That's what you need to do. And you're not like bouncing back and forth with in confusion. You don't want that, right? Okay, that's it. So next week, I'm now going to step into, we're done talking about the prophetic now. I'm going to step into talking about the gifts of the Spirit. That will be the next teachings that I'll go into to explain each and every one of those to you. All right, I hope this was very helpful and that you really gleaned something from this. Okay, let me pray us out of here. God, I thank you for your word, for your truth, for how incredibly amazing you have been, Lord, in bringing clarity to us, and how you have given us the ability by your Spirit to know what is from you and what is not. I ask that you continue to remove the things from us, the idols from our hearts that would attract us to these things, and put yourself back on the thrones of our hearts, Jesus. Sit on the thrones of our heart, that you become preeminent in our life and the most important person to us, Lord God, so that when we listen to anyone or look at anything, if your signature is not all over it, we are not interested in it. And Lord, we just love you. And we thank you for being so gracious, so kind to us, Lord God. And I just ask that those who you have sent to give these messages that may not even know how to properly do it, that you will just walk them through a process and of teaching them how to do this in a way that honors you. Bless them, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, you have an amazing week, and I will see you next time. Bye.